On behalf of Lineberg Information Services, this is Bob Keebler, and thank you for joining us for a brief discussion of grantor retained annuity trusts with a $5 million gift tax exemption. When we look at the grant, we need to start with the question, is there anything left of the grant after the unified credit for gift tax is increased to $5 million? And I think you probably already answered that question, that the grant has limited applicability now, but still very powerful in the right circumstances. So let's talk about the three or four circumstances where grants can still make sense. One, you represent someone that has already used their $5 million. They do not like the intentionally defective trust sale, but they're looking for a way to transfer some wealth. The grant can still play into that. Secondly, the grant is an excellent technique to use when you're working with hard-to-value property. And that's because the grant is self-adjusting. About 3 years ago, I represented a man who had invented a medical widget, and the valuations were all over the place. This device was supposed to be used to help orthopedic surgeons. At the end of the day, the values were from one extreme, call it a dollar, and on the other extreme, $100. It was the top value was into the billions. So we were very afraid of just gifting it away for fear we'd end up with a large gift tax bill. So what we did is we dropped that property into a grant. And by dropping it into a grant, we were able to push the upside to his children, but we were able to protect him in the case of a valuation adjustment by the service. What happens with a grant, and this is why a grant is so powerful in this situation, is that a grant self-adjusts. Okay, the grants, you draft a grant to give it a present value of that your grantor is retaining 99.9% of the value. And let's say the annuity was $10 a year. Well, if the government triples the value, the annuity now goes from $10 a year to $30 a year. Your client is protected. That's what's most important. Now, the grant also works nicely with very difficult to value property. Now, we could gift away using our $5 million the difficult to value property. So just imagine your client owns a large amount of a medical company. Okay, they're doing research. Very important research, pharmacology research, okay? But it's very difficult, and the stock's trading at $10 a share. Now, the stock just ran up in value. If the FDA approves this technique, the analysts are saying the stock will jump to $100 a share. But if the FDA says no, the stock's going to fall to 10 cents a share. Now, if you gifted that away using your unified credit, you will actually have gifted away your unified credit. You'll have gifted away your entire unified credit. That doesn't make sense. If you put it into a grant, publicly traded company, so it's easy to value, you put it into a grant and the value shoots to $100 a share, that $90 of value has now been pushed downstream out of your client's estate. On the other hand, if the value fell from $10 a share to zero, the value's gone. Okay, the value's gone, but you haven't burned any of your unified credit. So there are three or four places where grants have great applicability. One, very volatile property, like I just mentioned. Two is very difficult to value property where you're trying to push, where you're worried about a revaluation. And three, for someone that does not, for whatever reason, want to embrace the sale to the defective trust. So grants can still have great applicability. Now, why does a grant work? Everyone believes a grant works because of the difference between the rate of return and the 75-20 rate. 75-20 rate, say, is 3%. You're getting a return of 13, there's a 10% arbitrage. That is what part of what drives the success of the grant, but it's not the entire story. The grant is also driven by the fact that the grantor is paying the income tax on the income of the grant, and more importantly, the grant is driven by locking in valuation adjustments on closely held property. So all the income earned by the trust is taxed to the grantor, because the trust is defective for income tax purposes, allowing a tax-free gift to the trust beneficiaries. If you look at a grant, what I'm doing with a grant is I'm transferring my property into the trust in exchange for a stream of payments, okay? And typically, if this is a $1 million transfer, I'm going to retain a $999,000 interest, and my gift is going to be $100, okay? I'm going to try to structure it so my gift is $100. You always want to have a gift, a small gift, to run the gift tax statute of limitations. IRS position, although it seems to vacillate a little bit, is that if you do not report a gift, the statute of limitations never runs. you always want that 3-year statute of limitations to run, so design it so you're reporting a small gift. Now, let's say we do this. I get all my annuity payments back and there's still property left in the grant. That property then falls to my children. Now, very important to understand, the property only falls to my children. It does not fall down to my grandchildren. So grants are typically going to be drafted to give the children a general power of appointment in the ongoing trust so that it doesn't fall down to the grandchildren. The beauty of the grant is threefold. A, you freeze the rate of return. B, there's an extra gift that's tax-free because the grantor is paying the taxes. And thirdly, until it changes, we're locking in valuation adjustments. So, long time ago, I represented a man. He owned 100% of a company. We broke the company up into tranches, and we moved each one of 7 tranches into 7 trusts for his children. Very easy transaction. But by breaking it up into 7 tranches, we were able to get a valuation discount on each and every tranche. Okay? Very important to lock in that into our planning. On behalf of Lineberg Information Services, this is Bob Keebler, and thank you for joining us today.